The Tanya Chachof Tammuz, the 20th of Tammuz, is in Perek Dalid, chapter 4 of Igeret HaTshuva. The Alter Rebbe asked the question, why is it that those sins which the Torah says are punishable by Koris or by Misa B'dei Shamayim, which in the olden days would cause a person to die either before the age of 50 or before the age of 60, how is it that in later generations people committed those sins and yet they live out their life, a long life and a pleasant life? So the Alter Rebbe begins to explain that every neshama is a part of God from above, a chelek elika mimal, and it is brought into the world and invested into the person through the breathing of Vayipach Ba'apov. He breathed it into the person. Unlike everything else that was created through speech, God said, let there be, the neshama was breathed into the person from within. Like the difference between the breath that you use in speech and the breath that you use in blowing. The breath of speech is an external breath, so you can speak for a long time without becoming exhausted. And the breath that you use in blowing is an internal breath, and you're quickly exhausted from it. Now today's shir. Kocho mamish al derech moshul. In the same way, literally the same way, by way of analogy, hamavdol havdolis le'en ketz, although there's a great distance, a hevdol, between the neshama and God, yet in this they are exactly alike, that yesh hefesh otzu me'ed l'maylo, that there is a great distinction above in creation in heaven, bein kol tzivo ha-shamayim v'afilu ha-malochim shenivru ma'ayim liyesh. There's a great difference between the creation of heaven and the hosts of heaven that are created out of nothing, including also the angels, the chayim v'kayomim v'bechinas chetzeinis ha-chayis v'hashef ha-shem ha-shpiyeh v'baruch v'hachiyis ha-ilameis. The angels exist and live off an external energy, life, that God gives to the world. And this external life, this external energy that God gives to the world, this is called the breath of his mouth. As it says, with the breath of his mouth he created all their hosts. The breath of the mouth is speech, because speech is the external breath. This breath of God's mouth refers to that energy and that life which is clothed in the letters of the ten utterances, Shehem Bechinas Kelim V'Ham Shocheis. The letters facilitate the breath, the Chayas, to bring it down into creation. So there's the creation of the heavens and all their hosts, which comes from the external breath that is related to the letters, to the words. That's the place of origin for the creation, for the universe. Its origin is in the words and letters of the ten utterances that contain within themselves the external breath. And that's why it's called speech, because speech is the external. So there's a great difference between that, the breath that creates the world, obey nishmas ha'adam, and this, between that and the soul of man, shenimshecha tchila mebechinas pnimis achayus, v'hashefa shemashpia ein sei baruch hu. The neshama does not originate in God's word, in the words of creation. The neshama originates in the inner part of God, in the chayis pnimi, k'mei shekarsu v'yipach. As we said before, God breathed the neshama, not from speech. V'ach ha-kach, so that's where the neshama originates. But ach ha-kach, yorda b'seser ha-madrega, gam kein, ayidei b'chinas ha-isi, yeshebamay menasa odom. The neshama comes down also through letters. The letters of the words, let us make man. So the neshama begins not from those words. It begins in the inner life, the inner chayus of the Eibishter. And it comes into the body through the letters and through the utterance. Kedei lehislabish beguf elam hazeh hatachtim. In order to be able to be clothed in a body in this world, in this lowly world. So the neshama comes from a higher place and is transferred to the lower place through the letters. But creation begins originally in the letters, in the words, in the external breath. V'lochein, and because of this distinction between creation and souls, between angels and souls, that's why the angels are called Elikim and the soul is called Hashem. V'lochein nikru amalochim v'shem Elikim b'kosuf. That's why we find in the Torah that the angels are called Elikim. Ukamesha kosuf. And as it says, Ki Hashem Elikechem Hu Elikeho Elikim, your God is the God of gods, and that refers to angels, and we see angels are called Elikim. We also find Heidu Elikeho Elikim, or in a third pasuk, Vayaveyu Beneho Elikim Lehisyatif. All of these refer to the angels, and they're called Elikim. The Rebbe Shlita, the Rebbe Zogizuntzain, explains why there are three psukim, because it refers to the three levels of angels that exist in the three worlds, Bria, Yetzirah, and Asiya. Also, that the Alter Rebbe says that the angels are called B'Shem Elikim. It could have said angels are called Elikim. So the Rebbe explains that what the Alter Rebbe wants to emphasize here is that the name Elikim is used in other contexts as well. The word Keil means strength. So Elikim means strong, those that are strong. So sometimes the word Elikim is God's name, and sometimes the word Elikim is a term for strength. It's not God's name at all. Here the Alter Rebbe wants to say that the angels are called B'Shem Elikim. They are called with God's name. Not they are called Elikim, meaning strong. That angels are strong, so they're called Elikim. And that's why he says they're called B'Shem Elikim. They are called by God's name, the name Elikim. How is it that we're allowed to call angels by the name Elikim? We're not allowed to do that. We're not allowed to apply God's name to anything other than God. That's why the Alter Rebbe says the word bekosuv. The pasuk is allowed. Just as we find that we're not allowed to use an avodah zarah as to identify a place, we're not allowed to use an avodah zarah. So a person is not allowed to say to his friend, meet me in front of the avodah zarah. And yet, in the Torah, when the Jews came out of Mitzrayim, it says that they camped in front of Baal Tzifon. The Avodah Zarah Baal Tzifon. But the reason that the Torah says it is because only we're not allowed to say it. Because when a person says it, it might be misunderstood that the person is giving respect to the Avodah Zarah. When Torah mentions the Avodah Zarah, there's no such question, there's no such doubt. We don't suspect that Torah is giving respect to the Avodah Zarah. So much so that Avodah Zarah, which is mentioned in Torah, a person is allowed to mention also. Because once it's mentioned in Torah, then we assume that when the person refers to it, he refers to it in the same context and in the same vein as the Torah refers to it. But an Avodah Zarah that is not mentioned in Torah, we're not allowed to mention at all. So that's why, if the Torah is allowed to refer to an Avodah Zarah, it is certainly allowed to call an angel that is holy with the name of God. That's why the Alter Rebbe says bekosuv. Then, in the three psukim that the Alter Rebbe brings, he brings only the necessary words. Hashem Elikechem Ho Elikei Ho Elikim. Ho Elikim refers to the angels. There's more to the pasuk, but the Alter Rebbe doesn't bring any more. Then, Heidu Elikei Ho Elikim. Ho Elikim refers to angels. There's more to the pasuk, the Rebbe doesn't bring any more. But in the third pasuk, Vayaveyu b'nei ha'alikim, the Alter Rebbe brings also the word l'hisyatzis. Because there's another possibility that the Alter Rebbe wants to forewarn. It's possible that we can call an angel with God's name because the angel represents God. Since the angel is a messenger of God, the shliach can be called by the name of the mishaleach. So since the angel is engaged in a shlichus of the Eibishter, therefore you can say that it is the Eibishter. So how do we see from this that there's some special relationship between angels and the name Elikim? It's only that they are messengers that they are called Elikim. So for this, the Alter Rebbe brings in the third pasuk that the angels came l'hisyatzev to stand before God, to bring their claim to God. So they weren't on a shlichus. They were doing their thing. And even then they are called Elikim. So why are angels called Elikim and not Hashem, not Havaya? L'fi she'yenik ha'chayusam hinu b'chinat chetzeniyiz, since the angels get their life from the external energy, from the external chayus, shehi b'chinat ha'esiyiz levad, which is the energy, the breath of the letters, of speech, so to speak, v'shem Elikim hi b'chinat chetzeniyiz l'gabi shem Havaya Baruch. So that matches the name Elikim, because Elikim is also relative to the Shem Havaya. Elikim is the external. Aval nishmas ha'odom shehi mebechinas pnimis ha'chayus, but the neshama, which comes from the inner chayus, from the inner part of God, he chelik, when we describe it, we don't say it's a chelik of Elikim. We say it is chelik Shem Havaya Baruch. It's a chelik Hashem, not Elikim. Ki Shem Havaya made up Nimis HaChayus, because the name Havaya refers to the inner Chayus, Shehi L'mayla Mayla B'Bechinas HaEsis, which is much higher than the level of letters. So the angels are described, are called by the name of their origin, which is the Shem Elikim, and the Neshama is described by its origin, which is the name Hashem, Havaya. For the Hayem Yem of Chof Tammuz, the Rebbe writes that there are Shlesha Minei Hizbonu Nusim. There are three kinds of contemplation. Aleph, Hizbonu Nus Limudis, a learning contemplation. That is, that Acha Shemeven HaInyan Al-Buryov, that when you study a subject and you understand it thoroughly, then comes the contemplation, Hu Mizbeinen Be'emek HaInyan HaHu, he contemplates the depth of the subject, ad shehasichli meir etzli. The purpose of that contemplation is so that the principle, the basic point of intelligence, that principle, the intellectual principle of the matter, becomes clear to him. So he plumbs the depth of the subject until he comes to the essential point, the intellectual point. Beis, another contemplation is Shekedim HaTfilah, the contemplation that one has before davening. In Yonah, its purpose is Hergish Chayis Inyan Shalomad. The purpose of this contemplation is to feel the life of the subject. V'loi Hergish HaSichli K'mei B'Hizbonus L'Mudis, not to feel the intellect of it, the principle of it, but rather the Chayis, the life of it. And Gimel, the third kind of contemplation is in the davening, shebitfilo. In yono, the purpose of this contemplation is hergish holikus shebohinyan shalomat, to feel the godliness in the subject that he learned. Now, sholish ele, hem shliveis sulam ha'argosha. These are the three rungs of feeling that a person can attain. And it is only an act of kindness on God's part that margishim lipa'omim, that at times the helpman we feel, we sense, getlochkait belishim aveidoklau. There are occasions on which we feel godliness without preparation, without contemplation. And that's from God's kindness. And that is possible because of the atmos of the neshama, because of the etzem of the soul. But in order to attain godliness through our own efforts, by our own work, muchrochim sholish hanal. For that, for personal growth, through personal effort, we need to go through the three rungs of the contemplation mentioned before.